Welcome back to part two on bipolar disorder. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donney, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. I know that I've worked with somebody indirectly that was diagnosed bipolar. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms was the manic spending, I believe.
Yep.
And it was like buying cars, selling cars, buying homes, selling homes, buying guns, selling guns. Everything was like, there was no satisfaction. There was right. No, hey, let me enjoy the thing that I have, or let me have it work for me. It was a constant moving on to the next thing, because yep. What is it that's driving them in that? Is it a need? Is it a dopamine hit? Is it something like that, that we go, hey, if I spend money or I eat this thing, I get a good feeling. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a dopamine rush, but then they think that their solution or their happiness is in life is with the next purchase or with the, and then it becomes goal directed, intense goal directed activity where they are compelled. They seem like they can't give up on it. It almost becomes an anxiety that they have to do it, and no matter if their wife or their husband is saying, "Hey, come on." I thought our financial goals were X, Y, and Z, and no matter good reasoning, no matter good counseling, they just go for it without any recognition of the consequences. And they may even recognize the consequences, but that itch has, they just drive themselves to do that. And it's the dopamine rush, but it's also being inflated self-esteem, like their ideas are going to work. Sure, it's going to work. I'm going to win the lottery, and then I'm going to buy four cars, and I'm going to sell them to get all kinds of profit. Their own logic starts to defy them and deceive them. So that inflated self-esteem combined with that increased goal-directed activity and reckless behavior type thing, in this case, spending sprees, is a marsupial soup that just deceives the crap out of them, and they just continue to go down that path, no matter if they know they're going to sink in quicksand or not. To them, no, I'm going to get around it. That's not going to happen to me. I'm that special person now, and I'm going to make this happen. And everybody around them knows they're going down the tubes, and they can't do anything to get their attention.
So I have a question about that. You know, I appreciate how you know so much about supplements. And if a person is listening, and they think, you know, I feel like I have some of these traits, I'm not quite ready to make an appointment and be diagnosed. I believe from what I've heard you say and what I've experienced by looking into the lives of others, that this is one of the cases where medication is very helpful. But what would you say to the listener? Is there a supplement that they could take to take that first step to trying to quiet their mind, to see if there are some first steps that they could see if they could get this under control?
Yes, Laura, that is a very good question. I haven't committed to as much memory as a cheat sheet that I'm attempting to pull up right now. It's quite a lot, and every person, there's a lot of options, and every person doesn't need all these options, and it's sort of a I wouldn't quite say a trial and error, but we need to, every person's physiological makeup is a little different, even though as humans we have a lot of commonalities. So that's the reason we can even recommend these things. But not every one of the things that I'll be talking about, every person needs. And we have to find, you need to work with maybe a naturopath or a homeopathic kind of a practitioner, or even a counselor who knows these things. But believe it or not, omega-3 fatty acids are good for bipolar. So in other words, a lot of us don't eat the fish and don't eat the flax seeds and don't eat the some of the things that deliver the omega-3s to our systems. And who knows, we as a science, we don't have the ability to track every one of these deficiencies at one time. We can't have 1,000 people with 1,000 different subsets of vitamin deficiency or these type of things. We just, that would cost hundreds of millions of dollars and require tens of thousands of people in over a 40-year period of time. We don't do stuff like that. But these are not unequivocal recommendations, but it could be a part of a person's overall mix. But they may want to consult with a naturopath or somebody else who understands these conditions. And I have a naturopath at our disposal if you'd like to use our sources. B vitamins. B vitamins are key to this. It helps the body process and use energy from the blood and the red blood cells. And so some of the things with bipolar, people have these extreme energy bursts and their body is not processing them and it's going into overload, driving them neurologically to these conditions. And so if a person is not eating some of those foods that are rich in B vitamins, that's a problem. And I wouldn't rush out to the grocery store and just buy any B vitamin off the shelf, because the active ingredient in those B vitamins may be watered down and so on, just for profitability. You may need to go to a trusted upscale vitamin store and talk to the person and say, hey, I have a mood disorder. If you don't want to use the word bipolar, but the people at the vitamin stores, or we have some UK listeners I know, so they call it the vitamin store. Go talk to a practitioner in one of these stores who understand, who's educated about these things. The thiamine, which is the B1, and the folate, which is the B9. We need these things in our systems that help us with that. There's even supplements in the vitamin store. I call it the vitamin store. There may be a different name for it, but that's the nomenclature that I use, where they have all kinds of food additives and all kinds of things that a person could depend on that's natural to supplement their diets and their needs for proteins and all kinds of things. They even have herbal things that's got several of these ingredients in there, so you don't have to take 10 capsules every morning. So you can talk to them about that, the need for B vitamins and omega-3s and so on and so on. And they may have a product that has a lot of these things in it. As I'll discuss in a minute, tryptophan is another one. And so a person can really, if they want to, and Joseph, we can put these links on our website under the bipolar or resource or whatever. Again, it can be derived from a health store, CQ10 is another one that came into vogue several years ago for cholesterol things, but that is a very, it's very good. You know, there's experiments with dozens and dozens of people where the researchers administered CQ10, and the incidence of those people with bipolar, their episodes went down and the intensity of those episodes decreased. And so there's efficacy, and those studies go back to 2018. And so CQ10s, you can buy those in a drugstore. We call it in the U.S., but they call it apothecary in the U.K. and maybe some places in Europe and so on. Tyrosine is a good thing. It plays a key role in developing neurochemicals or neurotransmitters in our brains that affects our mood and our energy, and such as dopamine and norepinephrine. And so what's happening, guys, honestly, and I think it's our enemy, our chief enemy, that has dumbed down and adulterated the food industry starting in the late 1800s, when we had to go more to preservatives for so that armies could have daily rations. And so people can we moved away from the agricultural stuff and we went more industrial, the Industrial Revolution. And so food preparation and marketing started to change. And so our foods are genetically modified and they are stripped of these God-given created things. And we're not even getting things, these kind of things, out of our nutritional habits anymore. And I think it's a strategy of our enemy to dumb down our brains, to dumb down us neurologically, so that inevitably dumbs us down emotionally, which can dumb us down spiritually. I don't think it's an accident, guys. And there's good researchers out there who have discovered these things that should be in our foods, but they're not, because they want each acre to produce 50% more for greed purposes, and they leave the good stuff out. It's genetically modified. Trust me, it's a scheme from the greatest strategist that's against Christians and humanity. And so we may need to add these supplements to right the ship, so to speak, in terms of our or grow our own gardens and our own stuff. It also reacts, bipolar reacts very well to medication. Again, the anticonvulsants. I like everything but the lithium. But the lithium, it was the first classification medications that were attempted back in the 60s and 70s that just is atrocious. So lithium is hardly ever used anymore. But there are some other natural things you can do. Ashwagandha works very well with bipolar because, again, one of the symptomologies, the hallmark symptomology, is a lack of concentration, that distractibility, that impulsiveness. Impulsiveness comes from distractibility and still being compelled with this goal orientation, but it also creates the distractibility. And so ashwagandha is an ayurvedic that medicine that gives you that mental acuity and sharpens the mind. And so on. Valerian is another one. And I know I don't have the time to give a lot of details per herbal supplement, but lemon balm is another one. And again, if you go to a health food store, maybe that's the thing instead of a vitamin shop. Maybe that's the nomenclature I should use. I would go to one that's a higher end. And again, not buying these things from the grocery store because they put so many artificial additives in there and that is, you're not really getting a lot of the active ingredient. I would go to a vitamin store or a health food store and talk to the people there and try to find the product that has a lot of these ingredients. And then again, you don't have to take 10 capsules or tablets every morning and so on. Rhodiola rosea is another adaptogenic herb that works for bipolar. And again, I don't want to go into a lot of the detail and so on, but we have to be, it works for the depressive parts of things, but sometimes it can exacerbate mania. So you have to really know what you're doing and work with either with the counselor who knows this stuff or a naturopath so that you don't overload and so on. Passion flower is another one. It releases GABA, helps the GABA receptors in the brain, and it's considered an effective stress reducer. And people don't know it when they go into a bipolar episode, but their bodies and everybody around them is experiencing stress already. So, all right, but they need that. The stress can exacerbate sleeplessness, depression, restlessness, worthlessness, anxiety, and all kinds of things that are associated with the bipolars. That passion flower is good, and so on. And there's so many others that we can put on our website. Also, there's herbal supplements to avoid if we are attempting to take these supplements to help us with our bipolar. A lot of people take St. John's worts to help them with their as an antidepressant. Of course, you have to load your body up with this. If you're taking St. John's wort and you want to overcome your anxiety, then St. John's worts contraindicate some of these other, which means take away the effectiveness of some of these other herbal things. So you have to be aware of that. Ginseng is another thing that contraindicates those good herbal things, supplements that work with bipolar. And just there's a couple other things. So we can put that, again, these links on our website so you can be very well educated about what to do and what not to do. And if you're in extreme situation with bipolar, I would say go see a mental health professional who can prescribe, whether it's a psychiatric nurse practitioner or a psychiatrist, because bipolar is something that reacts well to the anticonvulsants, and the anticonvulsants are not addictive in nature and really can stabilize a person pretty quickly within 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, I would encourage you, it may be an embarrassing type situation. You may be embarrassed that you have bipolar and that you're out of control, but you need to be in control. And sometimes these herbal things take longer to get into your systems because they have to overcome the impediments to getting into your blood system, whereas the medications are so potent in their dosage amounts of the active ingredients that they can penetrate and get past some of those barriers, the gastro barriers and some of those other things, and get right to work. So your overall plan may be to go on an herbal supplement, which I think is an efficacious treatment plan, but you may need some stabilization first, depending on your acuity. I know that was a long answer, guys, but that's my answer, and we'll put those on our website. I'll let Joseph do that.
Yep. And then also, you know, we talking about what we what we can take or what the other person can take, but also I want to sort of talk about briefly, what if we think we may have symptoms and what if somebody else in our life we think has those symptoms too? What is the best way to go about getting help? Because you may have somebody that doesn't want help.
Mm-hmm.
We may be afraid, but you know, if we think we may have the symptoms, the best thing for us to do, like you said, is go see somebody. But what about the other person that is in our life that maybe doesn't want to get help because they don't see a problem with what they're doing?
Okay, here's the big news break. I suffer from this condition. I have bipolar, and my father left me when I was 4 years old. I am convinced that he had some medical mental health problems. I didn't start discovering these problems until my late 20s, and I have spent too much money. If I wanted a new car, guess what? Kevin bought a new car. If I wanted a new boat, guess what? Kevin bought a new boat. I would have boundless energy at night. I was involved with entrepreneurship. I was involved with this sounds heady, but with some electrospectrometry and also some biochemistries that would detect certain analytes in your blood. And I got patent. I got a patent in my name for that stuff. Okay. But some of that was the brilliance that the bipolar people experience, and they don't want to come off that high. But what it happened is when I came off those things, I was a little mean-spirited to people. I was a little bit agitated. I was irritable, the downside of all that. And so partially to answer your question, my wife, Beth, who is an angel, she said she's tough enough. She's kind enough and sweet enough to be the angel, but she's tough enough. Don't get it twisted. She'll punch your lights out. Not literally, but she was tough enough to say, Kev, come on, you're acting like a nut. We got to go see the doctor. So she was brave enough to take my butt to the psychiatrist. It took an elder in the church to say, Kev, come on. Cause we were also planning a church plant, and I was building my house. I was working second shift. On first shift, I committed 9 to 10 hours, or about 8 to 9 hours a day, to build my house. And then I went to second shift, worked from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And then I also was a pastor of a church. I was spent, and that sleep deprivation exacerbated a medical condition that I didn't even know existed because I never knew my father. And he had that stuff. He had some depression. He had some manic depression stuff or something, because I've talked to his third or fourth wife since then, and I learned these things. And so all this just tenacious work stuff just drained me and spent me, so to speak, and burned me out, so that sleep deprivation kicked this stuff into high gear. The stuff that was there that I didn't know was there, and it sucker punched the heck out of me. So I fought it. I didn't like it because I liked the highs. I liked the creativity. I liked the grandiosity. I liked thinking that I was Superman. But the downside was so disheartening and so debilitating to my family that I had to listen to my wife. But if a person doesn't want to go get help, there's nothing you can do too much. You can remind them a few times, but if they're hell-bent for leather, they're going to have to reach the end of their rope almost. So I'm not talking about death, but they have to be smacked around and to know. And then I've met patients, and I think I know the person that you were referring to, Joseph, but I can, as a professional, diagnose them, and they still are denying it. Oh, no, that's not what I have. It's because they want to continue their shenanigans. They like that buying handguns. Wait a minute, you already have 10 handguns. Why do you need another one? Well, you already have 3 cars. Why do you need another one? Because they like the rush. They like the dopamine hit. They feel compelled in that goal orientation. And so the reason I know this material so well is because I had to live it. And it's not coming from an educative point of academia. It's coming from a personal, intimate inference standpoint, because I had to live it. So when I get with a person who I think has bipolar, I can speak very authoritative in that, because I'm going through it too. I take an anticonvulsant called Depakote every day. It's a milder dosage amount, because I've learned to depend on my wife. And one of the ways that I came out of bipolar is I shut my damn mouth, pardon my French, and listened to my wife. That's the key, guys or girls. Listen to your other person. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And Joseph, I don't know if you need to edit out that French word, but I meant that with a passion. We need to, but everything in bipolar drives a person not to listen to anybody. As a matter of fact, if a person comes against their idea, they're fighting mad about that because my ideas are great. How dare you? Mm-hmm. And so there's a militant, kind of an aggressive part of this, and that irritability and that agitation. But my wife was tenacious. She was tougher than I was, and her and a elder in the church that I respected big time. Was bringing these things to my attention, and I finally bit the bullet, and my life has been so much better since then. I could become the servant that God wants me to be. I can be the leader that God wants me to be. I can be the husband that God wants me to be. Before that, I was trying very hard because I always feared the Lord, but I was missing the mark a little bit, especially during those episodes 4 or 5 times a year when I was a maniac. Does that help, Joseph?
Yeah, it does. Because I knew that about you. And, you know, it's funny because we think, I had a conversation with a client today, and I said, you can look around at different people and they can show you their good side, and they can show it for only so long until you start to see a crack in their armor of keeping a good face. And so, mm-hmm. We have to look at people and with understanding to be able to say, okay, there's something going on, but knowledge is power, and there's a lot of information out there that we have to kind of pick through and find. But to know that, hey, you know, Kevin is dealing with this, I might be dealing, I'm not saying I am, but I'm talking from the listener's point of view. You may be saying, I'm dealing with this, or I know somebody who's dealing with this. There might be fear. Mm-hmm. And in that fear, we can either run to a source of help or we can run away from it. And we have to recognize within ourselves whether or not we have the ability to run towards the help in order to get it, because we don't want to have our relationships break down. We don't want to be cut off from our families, from our loved ones, from our friends. So we have to take that hard stance and say, I need to get some help. Or you may have to confront the person that you love and say, you need help. And I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be there to help you also, but you need to get some help because what's happening is not good. It's creating other problems, and we're trying to fix the symptoms instead of getting to the root cause of the problem. And so you can chase symptoms all you want, but until you start to get to the source, you're going to continue to have those problems. So I appreciate that. And I want the listener to know that you're not alone. There's not a lot of people who are diagnosed with bipolar, but if there is somebody in your life that's undiagnosed, or you know they're diagnosed, it doesn't matter how many people out there are. You have to say, okay, what do I do next? Or what is my next steps?
I think you're right, Joseph. And Laura, I know it's your turn to speak, but let me interject a thought before I lose it. Christ's way of life is a self-examining way of life. You know, we're instructed when we take communion to take it from a self-examining standpoint to see where we fall short. Not that we have to use that information to discourage the heck out of us, because the solution is in Christ. But we, even if we have this condition, we have to get help, because that's what Christ wants, because we're going to be irresponsible and who knows how destructive in our families and our lives if we don't. And that goes diametrically opposite to the Word of God.
Well, all I want to say is I did not know that about you, and I believe that your truthfulness only legitimizes this conversation to a much higher degree for the listener and for myself. And I think that it's great when clinicians such as yourself, you know, can be vulnerable enough to say, this is what I'm dealing with too. And I respect that. And I admire that. And I think that the listener would agree that who better to listen to about a thing, right, than the person who has gone through, is going through, or has overcome a thing, you know, and because you see it from the inside out. And so I do know that the three of us can know about a thing and that'd be good, but it's very different when we have experienced a thing. So I just want to personally say thank you that you would be truthful about that. And in doing so, actually give us permission, right, as people to be vulnerable before a hurting world, you know, because to me, you're the epitome, Kevin, of you can have a diagnosis of fill in the blank, but there is wholeness. Mm-hmm. There's still the potential for wholeness. There's steps that have to be taken. There's things that a person has to do or should not do, one or the other. You do have to have your inner circle that you will be willing to listen to. But even just in what you shared in that gives me the courage to approach someone I love if I see that they're out of control, is that what they need is me to step in for them. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for what you shared today.
Well, I appreciate being able to share it. It's, you know, it's a moment of vulnerability, but I wanted the audience to know that even with our craziest diagnoses or challenges, Christ is still there to help. But he might be helping you through your spouse. He might be helping you through your best friend. He might be helping you through your grandmother or your aunt or your sibling. And what bipolar does in the grandiosity stage is it does not want to listen whatsoever. And so just stop and know that Christ's way of life is that of self-examination. And you have to trust somebody else to help you sometimes. It's too lonely of a world and it's too destructive. Now, look, I have known bipolar people. I want to go on the record as well. I've known bipolar people that would sexually sleep with anything that had breath. I wasn't that guy. I've never cheated on a woman. But I've spent money. I've stayed awake for days at a time and thought it's my ideas were the best since sliced bread. And therefore I had to learn to listen to my wife because she's on my team. She's doing this because she wants to help me. She wants to help the family. She's not my enemy. But a bipolar person may think that a person that disagrees with them is the enemy, but if you're to that extreme, you probably need to go see a psychiatrist or a nurse practitioner and get that active medication on board and then work with someone like our services to titrate off of that one of these days and build up your coping skills and all that. I still take medication for bipolar because I do not trust myself. I do not trust, I've had to create a process with my wife that I don't trust. I trust myself, but I don't trust myself. I trust myself in the Lord, but I don't trust Kevin Phillips. So if I get an idea, I have to run it up the flagpole about three times, and then I'll ask my wife, and she'll tell me what the real deal is. And so I really mean that, and you guys might have heard me say that because one of the – this is interesting right here. I've learned this a couple decades ago in trying to understand myself because I've always wanted to start a ministry or start a church. And, you know, again, I was associate pastor in two churches and a senior pastor in two churches. And, I belonged to denominations who didn't know about the encouragement now or the peripheral ministries and all that. At the end of the day, that's all I knew how to sort of – scratch this spiritual / religious itch because I wanted to do something for the Lord. So naturally, well, it's church then. Well, no, God didn't call me to be a pastor of a church. He's called me to be a pastor of a church that's without walls and without parameters to help his people. And so if we want to call that church or dodgeball, we can call it anything we want to. But this is my job, not to be in four walls and pastoring a church, which takes a giftedness and it takes a whole new skill set or another skill set. But I had to create a process. So if you have bipolar and you're trying to get help, go get the help. Joseph is extremely correct, more correct than he knows, that there's a lot of fear and trepidation involved with that, and a lot of like not saying goodbye to the manic phases, which is delightful in some respects, but it's also a facade, a destructive facade that can come back to haunt you pretty quick and all those people around you. And then it takes years and years to work off the debts and all that. And so I can proudly say that I'm out of debt. I've been working very hard and I haven't been in debt for years, but it took my wife's involvement. My wife saved 50 cents of the first dollar she's ever made. If I would have practiced her stuff, forget about Dave Ramsey, I would have had my own financial package and I would have land everywhere. But so I knew that I had to listen to her prudence. But this is the point that I want the audience to take away. We had to create a process that we're not. Oh, I didn't finish my point on the religious stuff. If a person's spiritual and God saved me when I was 17 years old, but the devil can hijack that spiritual depth of who we are with this bipolar condition. And we have found, empirical science has found, that bipolar with religious people expresses itself in extreme desire to start something religiosity, and that just that the goal orientation, the grandiosity, the inflated self-esteem takes over and takes that spiritual stuff and goes with it beyond God's will.
Yes.
I started a church one time. You know what? I don't know if it was God's will for me to start that church. I brought in another pastor, but that church eventually folded. Was it God's will, or was it Kevin's thing? Probably Kevin's thing, even though I had another some elders asking me to do it. And so we can get lost with this bipolar thing, thinking it's God's will. It's the furthest thing from the truth. We're just being deceived. And so it shows up as religiosity dysfunction or goal direction that everybody around us knows is whacked. And so we got to be careful with that stuff. And so I've had to create a process to instill some responsibility. God, I think it's me thinking this, if you want to bring it back, God has to bring it back to me. He don't have to do anything, but like, forget about Gideon's prayer. He has to do Gideon's prayer times three, man, to show me, because if not, it's a Kevin Phillips mistake waiting to happen. And then if I really want to know what to do, I ask my wife about it. And so people out there, I hope you, I am being vulnerable, but I hope you are gaining some wisdom. And so when I see a person that's extremely bipolar with all these bright ideas and they want to do it tomorrow because they're the greatest. Okay, well, how's your wife feel about it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're not talking about it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That tells me everything right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something that we can do more often, especially with different things that we're hearing in the news, within our friends group. You know, I think I'd love to touch on ADHD. I'd love to talk about some of the other things that people are, you know, we've already talked about narcissists. We have four episodes on narcissism. So mm-hmm. we want to be able to have this be a resource for people so that you can trust what's being said and be able to send this to friends, family members, others that are possibly dealing with these things, to say, take a listen. And if this lines up with what you're seeing from what I'm seeing, somebody needs to get help. You know, it could mm-hmm. be the person you send it to. It could be a family member of that person, whatever that looks like. So mm-hmm. I think this is a good thing to have, especially for our peer counselors to mm-hmm. be able to listen to and understand also. So any last thoughts, Laura?
I'm just appreciative, right? You were talking about how, yes, we've covered anxiety, we've covered these difficult situations that people live in, and yet there's still so much more. So I was a learner today. I really appreciate what you shared, Kevin. I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. Appreciate the vulnerability and the truth telling, because when we tell the truth about ourselves, it gives people the freedom to then also be free about them. And what we find is that we're more alike than we are different. So I'm walking away today with a greater understanding of the world around me, what things to pick up on, what things to be concerned about. And I want to thank you for that personally, Kevin.
Well, I appreciate that encouragement. I forgot to enumerate a couple of symptoms that are key too. It's the end of the chapter, and I shouldn't talk about, well, the end of the book or the end of the paper, so I shouldn't bring up another subject total, but that's an anti-good writing faux pas. And so I realize that. But if there's a person out there who's a motor mouth and that talks all the time and they have pressured speaking and their mind's going quicker than their words can put it out. And I have clients, for example, it's easy work. I just say hello and then they talk for 45 minutes. So I know what's up. It's like easy work. Okay, well, I can maybe text my mom. I don't do that. Sometimes I have to, but I'm not going to identify anything, but there, if a person comes up to you in church and they just basically ramrod the conversation and they take it in another direction and they're talking about themselves and their ideas and they can't shut up, well, they might have a mood disorder. That is a hallmark feature too, and that's a dead giveaway amongst others. So just wanted to throw that out there. But for the bipolar person, there is hope. And if you're in a manic situation, you could care less for hope. You generate your own hope. That's the problem. But then there's the downside where they go into a hopelessness, a worthlessness, a depression, and so on. If you're cycling through these things, we used to call it Jekyll and Hyde a few decades ago, but if you're cycling through these things several times a month or a couple times a week, you better take your butt to go see a doctor, because this has been happening for years and years. That tells me the acuity and the frequency that has been unmanaged that perpetuates other additional frequency. It's high time for you to go now, but you can do it with the right support system, with the right herbals or the right medications. You can live a normal life without this dysfunction haunting you every time you turn around.
Yes. So seeing patterns, understanding ourselves are key, no matter whether we have bipolar or not, but also, you know, having the ability to seek help. So I want to encourage everyone to seek out help if you need to. And, you know, we're available. You can go on to our website. You can fill out a consult form and we can talk to you. But also, you know, be supportive of those. Let them know that those that may be dealing with it, let them know that there is hope and that you're willing to walk through it with them. But also have good boundaries too, because sometimes they don't see it, but you may be feeling like you're getting a lot of pressure from them. And so find a good way to be able to have a conversation and say, I love you, but, we can't do this. And you may introduce the thought of seeking help. So do that. And we'll go from there. So I want to encourage everyone to, encourage those, send this out to people that you know and love. And be there for them. Let them know that you're a solution, and then they can reach out to us.
Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.